Exodus 3, verses 1 to 22. And in this discourse, I want to look particularly at verses 16 to 22. We're still dealing with Moses' commission, God commissioning Moses, sending Moses, calling Moses, putting him into the place where he must go, back to Egypt, to rescue the Hebrews from the slavery of Egypt in the next great stage of the history of redemption through covenants. Verses 16 to 22. Moses has been commissioned by God. He has resisted. God has made a promise to him, giving him a sign, encouraging him, revealing his name to him, and so on. And now in verses 16 to 22, God spells out the substance of what will happen and how he is to, Moses is to proceed. He has to go back to Egypt. And first he has to assemble the elders of Israel. And he has to address the Hebrews. And what does he say to them? This is what he has to say. God spelling out the commission. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you, and I've seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery into Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. This all harks back to Genesis 15, verses 13 to 14, the promise to Abraham that after the appointed time, to the very day, God would bring Israel, the Hebrews, out of Egypt, into that promised land. And Moses is now to go and tell them that. The Lord God, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me. God has seen, God has watched over you, God has had compassion on you, he's not forgotten you in these hundreds of years you've been in Egypt. And the promise is there, the God's promise, I will, the sovereignty of God, and you will come into this land of prosperity and success. God promised Moses, verse 18, that the elders of Israel would listen to him. And he, with them, would then go to Pharaoh. And this is the next thing that Moses has to do. With the elders of Israel, he has to address Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. Gentle request, but a very serious one, a very definite one, a remarkable one for slaves. And of course, verse 19, but I know God is sovereign here, that the king of Egypt will not let you go. I know the only thing that will make him yield, and that is if I display a mighty hand, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them, the miracles, the plagues. I know the king of Egypt will be so hard against you, he will reject your request. He will not listen. But I will smite him. And after his resistance, he will break. After that, he will let you go. And more than that, the Egyptians will be glad to see you go and will be favorably disposed toward you. And they'll heap wealth upon you so that every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver, gold, clothing, and so on. And you will be able to heap this wealth upon yourselves and upon your children, your sons and daughters. And you will plunder the Egyptians. and you will come out with power and glory and honor and wealth, and you will enter the promised land. This is the great commission for Moses. This is the great promise. This is the great assurance. This is the substance of his call. As I say, the great commission. The first thing, of course, brother and sister, is this is history, the history of God working out redemption through covenants. Abraham, that great covenant, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has now come to Moses. And this is the next stage in covenant history. And here we are on the verge of it. And look what God is saying. God will break the Egyptians, establish Israel, give her wealth, place her in her land, and it's all leading up to the coming of the Christ in the new covenant. Let us admire this covenant history. This is the secret of the Bible in a way. This explains it. All these covenants combining to the one great covenant. They're all different covenants, but they run in sequence according to the order of God. And it's all working out from Abrahamic covenant to the new covenant. The Noahic covenant also came into it. But of course, the principal covenant is the Abrahamic, leading through the old covenant, the Mosaic, through Davidic covenant, to Christ. So let us understand this history, read our Bible aright, and admire the sovereignty, the grace, the compassion of God here revealed to Moses. And what of us, my friend, in the new covenant? Have we not heard the Great Commission, the last chapter of Matthew, the last few verses? Have we not heard it? Go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. All power is given unto me, the sovereignty of Christ. Go, therefore, take the gospel into all the parts of the world, making disciples, converting, not the weak end, but by the preaching of the gospel, see the conversion of all the nations, not of every last man and woman in the world, but out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, language, people, nation, to see people, sinners, brought to Christ, teaching them to observe all things whatso I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to observe all things what I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. We have our great commission. We have God working with us. We have the power of God. Look at the compassion of God here. Sinners need to be saved. God could damn the world. But in his love and mercy, he sent Christ to die for sinners and sends his people out to preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit. And sinners will be converted out of every nation. This is our great commission. The compassion of God, the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the presence of God, the person of God among us. Moses had his commission. He went and did it. In fear and trembling, yes, but he went. Brother and sister, let us go on in our great commission too. Let us go on doing what we can. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were beseeching sinners through us, be reconciled to God. However small, however feeble, however tiny our work may seem, may we do what we can to advance this gospel commission in our generation. And may, even after we are dead, may our words in some way speak to the glory of God. Unbeliever, this God whom you will have nothing to do is a God of compassion. He loves sinners, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He is a God of power, power to save sinners like you. And he sends his people out. He sent his Son into the world, first of all. And now he sends his people out to preach the gospel of Christ, so that people like you, my friend, can hear of God's love, God's power, God's wrath, God's mercy, God's grace, that you might be convinced of your sin, convicted, and converted to Jesus Christ. This is our commission, and I'm trying to do it now. I urge you, my friend, be reconciled to God. May God use these feeble words. I might be like Moses and feel my weakness. I certainly do. My insignificance, I certainly do. My obscurity, I certainly do. But nevertheless, I still say, come to Christ now, and he will everlastingly save you. Refuse him, and die like that, and you will perish and perish forever. May it not be so. I live in the day of the new covenant, and so do you. And the offer of mercy is there for you now. See that you refuse not him who speaks, that means God, but yield to him now, and believe and be saved.